Welcome back to Let Me Read to You, a series of the Feel More podcast. Today I'm going to be reading from the book Becoming the One, Heal Your Past, Transform Your Relationship Patterns, and Come Home to Yourself by Shelianna Iana. I'll be reading the chapter Heal Your Abandonment Wound, and that's pages 87 through 103 of that work. My child, you were never abandoned. I have always been here, loving you unconditionally. You simply forgot that you are one with the universe. Remember who you are and come home. Wrap yourself in the divine embrace of the moon and the stars. Everything about you is perfect. Spirit. Healing the Abandonment Wound. What drives us to anxiously chase people or push someone we have just met to commit? What's behind the intense fear of rejection, the gut-wrenching feeling of being unwanted, or the impulse to prove ourselves when a person signals they are emotionally unavailable? Why is it that so many of us feel more turned on by someone who isn't healthy for us than by someone with whom we could co-create a lasting partnership? These are the questions so many of my readers and clients want answers to, and they are the force behind the relationship patterns many of us are seeking to end. At the root of nearly every human being's quest for relationship is a deep desire to feel wanted, seen, heard, and understood. This desire is amplified when there is a past trauma or an experience of being unwanted, unseen, neglected, or misunderstood. What's often left in the wake of these past hurts is an abandonment wound. The abandonment wound is so powerful that it can permeate every area of our lives, dictating our behavior at work, at home with our families, and in our friendships and romantic relationships. When the abandonment wound is active and unhealed, building a secure and loving relationship may feel downright impossible. Having an abandonment wound is not purely a mental construct or a mindset. It is woven into the nervous system, where we form habitual and adaptive responses to ensure survival. When left unchecked, it may form maladaptive responses, avoidance, withdrawing, passive aggression, uncontrolled anger, self-abandonment, and more. These are the kinds of responses that hold us back from forming healthy connections with others. Leaving before being left, never letting your guard down, and anxiously chasing unavailable people are the echoes of an abandonment wound. Emotional abandonment. I once worked with a woman named Jade who would get incredibly triggered anytime her partner needed space in a conflict, and she had no idea why. For the most part, her relationship with her parents was good. She couldn't think of anything that would cause such a stir in her. But when we talked more about her childhood, she shared that whenever she had a big emotion or expressed her anger, she was immediately sent to her room alone. She remembered feeling overwhelmed, scared, and totally abandoned in those moments. Suddenly, she connected the dots and found her core emotional theme. How she felt back then was exactly how she had been feeling in her relationship. This initiated a big aha moment for her. Jade saw how her partner needing space in a conflict brought her back to that time and caused her to act out from her wound, making accusations or blanket statements that pushed her partner further away. Moving forward, Jade decided to practice taking a pause when she felt like lashing out and to empathize with the part of her that was afraid of being abandoned. She knew change wasn't going to happen overnight, but she was committed to developing more trust and honoring her partner's boundaries in a conflict. When I talk to people about the abandonment wound, they presume it means literal abandonment by their parents. They may have all the signs and symptoms of an active abandonment wound, but not feel justified if they felt they grew up in a normal family or had both parents present. But these wounds can form when we feel emotionally abandoned, and in many other experiences that are common to an overwhelming majority of humans on this planet. Some spiritual traditions even believe that the original abandonment wound occurs when we are first birthed into this world and the umbilical cord is cut. It's almost inevitable that most people enter adulthood with some sort of abandonment wound. And while some of us have stories that seem extreme and some that may seem mild, there is no need to compare histories to validate our experience. Each of our stories might be different, but the wound is the same. The beauty of healing the abandonment wound is moving beyond the idea that we are broken or incomplete and remembering our connection to nature and to the divine love that exists all around and within us. Abandonment wounds can form when a parent leaves or passes away, a parent is physically there but emotionally unavailable, a parent is physically absent, never having met a parent, being adopted, we had a health complication as a child or at birth that required surgery, hospitalization, or separation from a parent. A parent ignores, punishes, or denies our emotional experience. A parent is gone for a while, on vacation, a work trip, etc., and we don't understand their absence. Our parents go through a contentious divorce, remarriage, or there is infidelity. A parent is chronically ill and unavailable to tend to our emotional and physical needs. We're sent away when we don't want to go, grandparents' houses, summer camp, etc. In our adult lives, someone close to us leaves abruptly, betrays us, or dies. An activated abandonment wound. Our abandonment wound can be activated in minor ways at any time we're interacting with people who mean a lot to us. On a subtle level, there can be a sense that we're never safe or that at any point a good thing is going to be ripped away from us. It's the experience of constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop. Many of my clients have described the bodily sensation of the abandonment wound activating as a hot, intense, panicky feeling, or like they want to jump out of their own skin. This is where creating a daily ritual of attuning to your body and practicing a gentle return to center is especially helpful. Symptoms of an activated abandonment wound. Feeling threatened when someone you love shares negative feedback or criticism. People pleasing to keep love. Lacking the ability to let other people have their own experience. Controlling other people. Feeling anxious about being left, assuming the worst. Catastrophizing even in minor conflicts. Forming codependent alliances. Choosing to only trust one person and demonizing the rest. Reverting to the child self during conflict. Avoiding hard conversations, setting boundaries, or sharing feelings that might rock the boat. Chasing commitment from emotionally unsafe or unavailable people. Rapidly moving toward new partners before getting to know them. Punishing partners with the silent treatment rather than communicating clearly. Pushing love away, struggling to receive help, affection, or gifts. Feeling turned on or excited by rejection. Losing yourself in other people and abandoning your own hobbies, goals, or friendships in favor of a new love interest. Feeling insecure and riddled with self-doubt. Holding on to an ex-partner with an intensity that can feel all-consuming. Self-abandonment. Fear of abandonment can ironically lead to self-abandonment. When we're preoccupied with the fear of being left or unloved by another, we may negate our own needs, deny our reality, and suppress our emotional experience to keep the peace. But there are great consequences when we self-abandon. At the center of all people-pleasing behavior is a belief that we must contort ourselves to fit into other people's lives. The reality is, we must create spaciousness within our own lives for the right people to come or go based on alignment. Self-abandonment happens when we have a need or desire and don't speak up out of fear that we'll be rejected. It's in the moments where we drop everything when someone calls, even when we had plans, or when we stop nurturing friendships because we are caught up in a romantic love interest. Ending this cycle of self-abandonment begins as we peel back the layers of our own fear of abandonment and claim ourselves, quirks and all. This also means taking risks, expressing ourselves, setting boundaries when something doesn't feel good, and taking a stand on the things that matter to us. We're not willing to do these things if our main priority is to keep the love at all costs. In order to build a true conscious relationship, we have to be willing to let ourselves be seen in the truth of who we are, with clear ownership of our desires. Signs of self-abandonment. A pattern of falling in love rapidly with new people, dropping everything for a person we're attracted to, ignoring red flags or obvious signs of disinterest, pretending to be someone we're not to win approval, spending all our time with a new love interest, sidelining close friends, using social media to spy on an ex or their new partner, breaking boundaries we set for ourselves, using alcohol or other substances to avoid uncomfortable feelings, saying yes when we want to say no, worrying more about pleasing others than honoring ourselves, dating and accepting the unknown. The dating world can be confusing and intimidating. Which app do you use? When should you text them back? How soon should you be getting back out there after a breakup or a divorce? When can you have the relationship talk? In my workshops, I often see clients do the inner work, get super clear on their values and what they want, but find that they're still in a big rush to secure a committed relationship. There's nothing wrong with wanting a relationship, but there are subtle ways that the anxiety of being abandoned can still have a grip on our relationship patterns, and one of them is racing through the dating phase into commitment without an exploration phase. Instead of asking ourselves questions like, do I like this person for who they are? Do I feel safe with this person? Are our core values aligned? The focus instead falls on urgent matters of the wound. Am I being chosen by this person? Impatience is usually the drive to get out of an uncomfortable feeling. And when it comes to dating, we're talking about the discomfort of not knowing what comes next, whether this is the person we're going to end up with, or whether they're just a stop along the way. I see folks apply a lot of pressure very early on in a relationship, and they feel devastated when the person they are pursuing begins to distance themselves. When we lean in too far, this force of energy can naturally cause someone to move away rather than towards us. You have a right to check in on where the other person is at and what they're looking for, but sometimes we get confused about what this really means. Some of the people in my program will meet a person, date for a few weeks, and then expect the other person to be 100% in and ready to go deep. But it takes time to know someone and to have the conversations required to decide whether you're aligned to go further. Remember that everyone moves at their own pace, and it's often unrealistic to expect that other people operate just like you do on every level, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You can honor your boundaries and be clear with what you desire, while also making room for their reality too. There is a big difference between someone telling you flat out they don't want a relationship and someone moving slowly and taking the time to get to know you. With an abandonment wound, the process of dating without knowing the outcome can feel excruciating. but moving too fast into a relationship before you've had time to explore can also backfire. While there is no set time, 1 to 3 months generally gives a couple space to get to know each other and to ask important questions so that both can gauge their level of desire to go deeper. Some folks who have children and are considering a blended family may require a lot more time than this, as the decision to merge impacts more than just the people entering the partnership. There are also many folks who enter the dating scene while their abandonment wound or heartbreak is still fresh, and this can muddy the waters in the dating pool. It's not that we need to be perfectly healed before we go out and meet new people. But when our anxiety is high and our confidence is low, we may become externally focused and fixate on being wanted rather than paying attention to what is going on inside of us. Instead, we want to wait until that burning sensation of urgency and the anxiety have passed, until we are ready to accept the great unknowns of dating, love, and relationships, and move forward from a calm and grounded place, anchored in our authenticity. Rejection and the abandonment wound. Letting go of someone who has rejected us can feel debilitating. When someone walks away or leaves us, we're left with so much emotion to sort through. Our abandonment wound can become activated, unearthing our deepest fears of being too much or not enough. This may cause us to cling too tightly to someone who doesn't want to be with us. But just because we feel deeply attached to someone doesn't mean they are the person we are truly meant to be with. When we just can't seem to let go, thinking of them constantly or desperately strategizing how to win them back, there's something else going on beneath the surface. It is our inner child that needs tending in these moments, so we can step in with our loving inner parent and take care of our hearts rather than self-abandon. If we tune in to our inner child when we are experiencing rejection, we might find they are feeling scared, hurt, abandoned, unsafe, rejected, not enough, unseen, unimportant, forgotten. When a small child is feeling those things, what do they need most? Safety, security, reassurance, and protection. When our wounds are triggered, we naturally believe the person we're fixated on is a solution to our pain, and that if only they would return to us, they could make us feel good again. The truth is, someone who doesn't want to be in your life cannot make you feel safe. You can learn to love yourself whole, to become the safety and stability you've been externally seeking. Instead of spending all your energy wishing for them to return, devote yourself to coming home to yourself. Healthy love isn't a game. You don't have to work to be loved. You are innately lovable and worthy just by being you. The three abandonment archetypes. The abandonment wound often manifests itself in three ways in our relationships. While some of us anxiously chase love and commitment, some of us fear it and choose the path of ultra independence, while others become overgivers. Here are three abandonment archetypes. The love chaser. Love chasers often hold on to romantic fantasies and imaginationships, hoping there is more to the relationship than there really is. They may actively pursue unavailable or emotionally avoidant partners and see their efforts as virtuous, believing that they can help this person heal or open their hearts. In some cases, a love chaser may be obsessive and pursue someone well after the door has been closed. Love chasers may find themselves haunted by dreams of a person for a very long time, struggle to get the person out of their mind, or secretly check the person's social media. This archetype is also prone to falling quickly for a person and racing toward commitment. Their work is to practice being in the body, slowing down, communicating more directly, and honoring themselves by continuing to engage in their friendships, hobbies, and other commitments during the honeymoon phase, rather than shape-shifting for their own new love interest. The ultra-independent. This type finds safety in leaving before being left, or keeping people at enough distance so as to not let themselves get hurt. The ultra-independent prides themselves on their strength and ability to do it all on their own. Often, this archetype feels lonely and unseen, but struggles to accept help, direction, or support. One of the biggest struggles of this archetype is that they don't let people in very easily. So when they finally do, it's much harder to let go of a relationship, even if it is unhealthy. Ultra-independent types are often very private and don't let many people see their true emotions or inner world, and this can often lead to codependent or imbalanced relationships. The ultra-independent has to slowly let down their walls. The key is slowly, so they don't overwhelm their nervous system. Asking for help and being willing to not always have it together is a helpful practice to soften the beliefs that they have to do it all on their own. Leaning into friendships that feel safe and nurturing is a great way to practice relationship skills. The overgiver. This archetype feels an intense need to be loved and validated, and often carries an unconscious belief that they have to work to earn love. The overgiver may have learned early on that they get more attention or acceptance when they do well or perform in some way. And so this energy may translate into self-abandonment and giving beyond their energetic capacity. Overgivers may pour themselves out until they are drained and resentful. One of the greatest challenges for the overgiver is that they may give with a load of expectations that they don't voice, while simultaneously struggling to speak their own needs for fear of being rejected. The overgiver has to learn how to prioritize themselves, create balance when it comes to how much energy they give, and communicate more directly about what they want and need. They may also need to become more aware of the impact their energy has on others and recognize when they need to rein it in and give space. We may find ourselves embodying one or all of these archetypes at different times throughout our lives. Sometimes the pattern shifts depending on who we're with. In my case, I realized that my boundary setting game was strong in virtually every area of my life except my close female friendships, because my deepest wounding occurred with my mother, who struggled with depression. Whenever a female friend was depressed or going through a difficult time, all my boundary setting and awareness would go out the window, and I'd unconsciously start playing the overgiver again. Be patient with yourself if you find that you keep falling back into one of these archetypes. Untangling yourself from what's familiar is a slow process. But no matter which archetype you find yourself playing out in relationships, your pathway to integration and healing is the same. Healing the abandonment wound. By accepting the full spectrum of who we are, we create an opening for the right people to enter our lives and love us fully. If we are fighting to be chosen, we are living in service to our pain. As we heal, we develop the trust and capacity to create a new destiny embodied in our highest expression. We cultivate the courage to set firm boundaries and ask the important questions that give people an opportunity to show us who they are. Healing the abandonment wound isn't about erasing our past. Healing doesn't mean getting rid of, but rather being with. When we are unaware of our wound, it has the power to create mayhem in our lives. When we are aware of and tending to our wound, it has the ability to bring us deeper into ourselves. Your wound is not who you are. It is simply an area where you will be more sensitive, and through time and patience, an area where you have the potential to gather wisdom, empathy, and understanding for yourself and other beings. I don't believe our wounds are our broken parts, even though they feel that way. The gift our pain offers us is a passageway to uncover our hidden potential. Healing the abandonment wound does not come with a formula. Healing happens in connection to the self and in slowly reminding our nervous system that we are safe. These are some of the practices that can help you on the journey to healing your abandonment wound. Rebuild a connection with your inner child. As you learned in Chapter 4, the bond you build with your inner child provides a strong and secure base from which you lead your life. Connecting with your inner child empowers you to step into a more mature and self-aware version of yourself. When you feel panic, dread, anxiety, or uncertainty, you can tune inward and ask your inner child to communicate all their feelings, thoughts, and fears. Remember that the abandonment wound is often an echo of a past hurt. It is the lingering pain of a nurturance you never received, the attention you craved, the love you never got. When this wound is activated, tap into your protective inner parent to set boundaries and offer yourself healing. Your inner child is always there, waiting to be seen, heard, loved, and accepted. Let yourself feel. Resistance to feeling creates a block in life energy. Practice allowing your feelings and sensations in. As they arise, bring curiosity without judgment to your experience. Many of us learn to deny or suppress our feelings to avoid embarrassment, ridicule, or overwhelm. But emotional energy needs to be felt to process and move through the body. The more you hold on, the heavier it gets. Consider each emotional experience as a cleansing of your heart and mind. Do somatic work. Get into your body. Healing happens by re-inhabiting your body and returning to self-trust. In addition to guided therapy like somatic experiencing work, there are a host of simple practices that will help you learn to listen and trust your body. Take time throughout the day to pause, notice your breath, and name the sensations you're feeling. When you're holding on to pain and trauma, the inclination is to often stop moving. Nature walks, dance, trauma-informed yoga, and self-massage help nurture you back into relationship with your body. Learn how to set and maintain boundaries. Every time you honor your boundaries, whether it is a boundary you've set with yourself or someone else, you are actively doing the work to heal your abandonment wound. Remember, self-abandonment is one of the side effects of having an abandonment wound. When your wound is activated, you are craving attention, love, and validation. And you may do anything to get it, including abandoning your own needs or stretching your boundaries too thin. Small acts of staying true to your own energetic, emotional, or physical boundaries will help you to build strength and courage in creating the life you truly want. Ask for help. Asking for help from others creates new opportunities for people to show up for you, and for your brain and nervous system to integrate a new reality. If asking for help feels challenging or you feel resistance reading this, chances are this is your growth edge. When I was younger, I never asked for help. In an attempt to impress others and receive validation, I'd go out of my way to do everything myself, all from scratch. I even used to hand crack my peppercorns when cooking dinner. Asking for help can feel incredibly vulnerable for an ultra-independent person. But as human beings, we build intimacy by showing up for each other when things are tough. Give others a chance to see your heart and to be there for you. Let love in. If you've been taught that you're only lovable in a certain emotional state, most likely happy and agreeable, then your work is to bring new sides of yourself and your vulnerability to a partner or close friend. Learning how to trust others is intrinsically linked to learning how to trust that you're worthy of receiving love and support. It's also important to be discerning with who you bring your vulnerability to. Choose people who have demonstrated they are emotionally safe. A safe person is someone who can listen without judgment, offer reflections rooted in empathy, and who won't seek to fix your problems or try to talk you out of your feelings. Stay committed to your interests, hobbies, and values. Do you work around the other person's availability as soon as you enter a relationship? Do you scrap your plans last minute and drop everything when they call? Sometimes we leap towards someone without giving them space to move toward us and show their interest. Remember, the relationship you have to yourself needs to be home base. Stay committed to the things you care about and don't make the relationship your entire world or identity. Instead, find things to do with friends, join in a group activity, and show up for the commitment you've made. Not only does this anchor you to your own core, but it also makes you more magnetic because you are demonstrating your worth through your actions. Things to remember. Having an abandonment wound does not mean you are broken. Your abandonment wound points to the most vulnerable and tender parts of your inner child. An abandonment wound can happen even if you had a loving family. An abandonment wound can occur when your emotional needs weren't met, even if your parents were physically present. Healing your abandonment wound does not mean that you'll forget about the past or stop desiring love, closeness, or reassurance. It means you will no longer be ruled by your pain. While healing your abandonment wound, it's important to practice being attuned to your body and naming your emotions. No one else is responsible for healing this wound. Someone can give you all the love in the world, but you also have to do the work to let that love in. When your abandonment wound is triggered, practice inner child work, self-soothing, asking for help, and being in connection with others. So I read this book last year, 2022. I think it was probably the summertime. And I had already been very familiar with Shelliana's work. She is the woman behind Rising Woman on Instagram. And I saw myself so raw, naked, and vulnerable in these pages when she talked about these different relationship dynamics and how we can truly actively practice a conscious relationship with ourselves and how that truly does reflect in our relationships with others. What I will say about this book is that if you are someone who is already dove or diving into work on the relationship with yourself and really diving deep, right? We're not just talking about like blanketed self-love affirmations. We're talking really about shadow integration and really getting to the core of your triggers in relationship with yourself and in your relationship with others, really getting into family dynamics and how that has contributed to you and your personality, talking about building a relationship with your inner child actively and really allowing yourself to shift your perspective to a more conscious lens when you're talking about being in relationship with yourself and others. So if you're someone who is already deeply steeped into or even moderately steeped into that journey, there's going to be a lot in this book that you essentially are already practicing, are already starting to embody, or you're practicing embodying. So some of the things won't be new, but there are some nuances that I think she adds in the way that she explains certain things that will make your jaw drop and make you feel attacked and seen. But
The energy and the tone of this book is also extremely nourishing and humanizing. And she has such a way of holding you while she's simultaneously dragging you by your edges. And I really appreciate that about the tone of this book and her voice in general. So definitely read this book further. There's a link in the show notes for you for my Amazon storefront, and the book is there. So you can grab the book there and really, really dive into this book. It can be a lot to digest, but it's a beautiful read, and I recommend it to any and everyone, really. Any and everyone, truly. So, that is all. I really do pray that just reading this chapter served you in some way, that maybe you saw a different part of yourself that you hadn't let yourself see before you heard the words from these pages. And I hope that, you know, my voice was an anchor for you, that the jazz music was an anchor for you, and it helped you to rest in the vulnerability that may have come up as you listened to the words from this book, from these pages. And I hope that you join me again for the next Let Me Read to You episode. Next week, we'll be listening to a playlist together. So I hope that you come back and tune in for that. And until I read to you again, or until we listen to some music together again, please take care of yourself. Breathe deep. Breathe easy. Breathe on purpose. And we will talk soon.